It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. They'll cover anything you need. I sent my parents to them. I will send you to them as well. They took great care of Dennis and Janine Paulson. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Danny is out today. His vacation continues. Jay Gruden is in studio with me until 4 o'clock today. Danny and I disagree on the beach. I don't mind going to the beach. I just don't like sitting in the sand and being at the water. I like doing stuff at the beach, going out to eat, seafood, maybe like going, hopping on the go-karts or putt-putt, all that kind of stuff. Danny wants to get a book and sit in the sand from like 7 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Yeah, I can't do that.
What's your move?
My move is find out when it's low tide and get my bike out there, just riding up and down the beach. I love that.
So you're more on my speed. You're not just going to sit there and go into the water and come back out.
I will swim. I'll go out there and swim because I got bad knees, and getting in the water out there, there's something therapeutic about that to me. So I will swim, but I won't go back and lay on the beach and read a book. No. I'll go there with a purpose. I'm either going to ride my bike up and down, go swim for a little bit, get off, go to a little beach tavern. I don't know. Something crazy.
We see eye to eye on that. Happy Hard Knocks, everybody. Last night, the Chicago Bears season of training camp Hard Knocks kicks off. Now, Jay, one of the bones I've had to pick with you in the past that we've had to bury the hatchet on is I've always said that you did not allow Hard Knocks in Washington, D.C., and I don't know if that's true or not.
Me?
Yeah. But you were here for many years, and we never got Hard Knocks. It's my dream that Washington is on Hard Knocks, and you would think by now this team would have gotten it at some point, and it just hasn't happened. You were a superstar on Hard Knocks with the Bengals.
That was Bruce. Bruce didn't want to be on Hard Knocks.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Don't you agree with me right now, like, this team needs all the positive publicity it can get?
Well, rookie head coaches don't. They get a pass.
So specifically this year, they could have said no. But just in general, I would have called the league if I'm Adam Peters and said, please put us on Hard Knocks. We got Jaden Daniels. We got 30 new players. Here's the storylines. We'll help you write them. They need cologne, man. They need people to care. Yeah, they need Commanders to be cool.
I think next year is a great year for them to be on Hard Knocks.
God, I hope you're right. They should be. But you were in that situation as a coordinator in Cincinnati. How would you have liked it as a head coach? Would you have been welcoming to it?
Yeah, I think so. As long as you have a chance to veto anything, as long as you get a chance to be an editor and make sure that nothing comes out there where you're talking about a player. You know, when you're in personnel meetings, things get said that you don't want to be shown to the public, right? We don't want to put anybody down. As long as everything stays pretty positive and upbeat and a storyline is about the players and there's some positive things that get out of it and they can show the skill of other guys, but I don't want any negative stuff coming out. I can remember the Jets did it with Rex Ryan and I are just shredding this poor offensive lineman. I mean, the kid's parents are watching and the family's watching. They don't need to do that. As long as that's not part of it. Hard Knocks wasn't that bad. They did a great job of staying out of your way, and it was painless, really. And yeah. Marvin Lewis did a great job of making sure everything went smooth, too.
So we've got three iterations of it now. We've got the training camp version everybody's been used to since 2000. So that's what the Bears are on, debuted last night. It was excellent. I've got some thoughts. I took some notes. We'll go over those later in the show. I'll spare you that, Jay. The off-season version debuted for the first time ever. Over the last several weeks, they had the Giants. And that was the best version of Hard Knocks we've ever seen. It was amazing because we had access to all of the things that as a fan of football, I dream about being a fly on the wall for. It was football porn, right? We were in the quarterback coach meetings at the combine. We got to see the trade discussions between general managers on the phone. We got to watch a GM call an agent of a player and then a player and say, we're letting you go. Like all that stuff, you wonder, what is it like? And now we have the answer. That was the best. But the other one is in season. And in season is, I think it is what the team makes it, because sometimes the club essentially doesn't give you a whole lot of access for obvious reasons. But I thought the Dolphins with Mike McDaniel last year did a pretty good job. McDaniel in the first episode had a team meeting. He got all his guys together and he said, look, we will be unapologetically ourselves. I don't want anyone to think about the cameras being here. Like, just do you. And we're going to keep chopping wood like nobody's around. And we got a pretty good season out of that, I thought, based on that philosophy. But in season, would you feel differently about it? Like, it's one thing during training camp. The off season, they follow mostly the front office. But does it matter to you when in the year? Would you have been less?
Yeah, off season and training camp is okay. I think in season a little too much. There's a lot going on in season. There's a lot of distractions already. You're trying to limit the distractions as much as you can in season. And with social media the way it is and all the shows going on, you don't need another distraction, in my opinion. I would not want it during a season.
Same thing I would imagine then with like a lot of these documentary shows that are coming out now for content. I don't know if you watched Quarterback on Netflix with Kirk and Mahomes and
yeah, I watched Mariota. Part of that. I watched a little bit of the receiver one too.
It was receiver good. Was yeah. great. Like for you as a coach, some of that stuff might be a distraction or annoying. But as fans, it just makes us love the game more. It's just great for the shield.
I think a lot depends too on the makeup of your football team too and the culture that you have established. If you got a bunch of good guys and you can do a lot more. And if you have a couple guys that are maybe a little bit on the other side of that, you may want to try to limit the exposure or limit the controversy that could come out. Like we had a couple guys that, you know, I didn't particularly care for that I wasn't allowed to cut that I wouldn't want to be part of that show. If that makes sense.
What do their names rhyme with?
Yeah.
We're here for a while. I mean, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go around the NFL, Darius, and hit some of the headlines in the National Football League with Jay Gruden. First things first, Brandon Ayuk, for the moment, is still a San Francisco 49er. Sounds like he had an opportunity to be traded to New England, didn't work out a deal with the Patriots that he liked. He wanted to be a Commander. We have heard that Washington has pulled its name out of the Ayuk sweepstakes. So the last team standing as far as the clubs reportedly interested, the Pittsburgh Steelers. First question I've got for you on Ayuk, how good do you think he actually is?
I think he's pretty good. You know, he's a solid player. I think he does everything pretty well. He's a physical kid. He can run. He's got strong hands. He's pretty good after the catch. There's really not a weakness in his game. Or is he like one of the top 10, 12, 15 receivers? I don't think so. He's that good. But he does have a skill set that can make your team better. And I do like the fact that he will put his face on you and block when it's necessary.
It's going to take picks, probably a veteran receiver as well in a trade, and $30 million or so a year.
I don't know if he's that good.
You don't think so? Because the numbers are excellent, but he's on an offense where Kyle's calling the plays, who everybody thinks is a great play designer. You've got a quarterback who's going to be making 60-plus mil in the next couple years in Purdy. Another receiver in Deebo Samuel who attracts more attention than him. And then future Hall of Fame tight end George Kittle, future Hall of Fame running back Christian McCaffrey, and one of the best left tackles that replay, who you know well, Trent Williams. So I do wonder if you take him away from all of that, and now he's the alpha and the marked man, is he still on the level that we see him at?
Yeah, I think it depends on your situation. I think New England would be a great fit because they really don't have any go-to number one guys legit. So I think they'd be a good fit. I think him going along with Pickens would be a good little team up because they need some physicality in the receiver room at Pittsburgh. I think that'd be a good fit for him. There are some teams that could use his skill set. He might be worth it. There are some teams that, you know, may not need his services quite as much, especially pay him $30 million. I think that's why there's only a couple teams that are in the sweepstakes.
So I want to go back then to Washington. You said maybe he's not worth that package. Year one with Jaden Daniels, year one as a GM, Adam Peters, be a heck of a first huge move. He knows him better than anybody. He was in San Fran. He's obviously got all the numbers he needs to that front office. Would you give up picks, say Dotson and $28-29 million a year?
To go along with to ride with Terry, it'd be a good 1-2 punch. Yeah. You know, Eckler out of the backfield. And
you'd do that.
Yeah, I'd probably think about doing that.
It's just a lot for me. One thing I will say is...
It is. I think a lot depends, too. How's McCaffrey doing in training camp? How are your younger guys doing?
Meaning Luke here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How they stepping up, you know what I mean? To be opposite.
So that's a good point, because, like, let's just hypothetically say, I mean, Luke has not really popped a whole lot when I've been out there. Just asking around media and other stuff. It doesn't seem like he's shined, but we don't know, right? We don't know what we're seeing. So let's say, hypothetically, Luke has not been flashing as much as they would have thought, or they might think he's a little more of a project. And then it's a lot of like Alameda Zacchaeus, hoping De'Ami Brown comes on for the first time in 4 years. Like that, then it sounds like you'd be more aggressive in possibly making the trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the idea of giving my quarterback weapons, especially a young guy. And the one thing I want to keep reiterating on this show, because I think this is a misnomer that I hear when people talk about situations like this, is people will say, well, they don't need to be aggressive yet. You know, they're not there yet. They don't need to make a move like this. You make that when you're closer to being good. I disagree with that because I think the value of Jaden Daniels is the rookie contract. And the hourglass is already ticking.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
Like, the whole point of having Jaden Daniels is you have 5 years before you got to pay him. So if you trade for Ayuk now, and by the end of the season, you've come on as an offense and everyone's comfortable together and you're starting to play really good ball and make some good music, you're better for it next year. You just... That clock is 5 years until the whole thing gets reset.
You look at Cincinnati. I always compare to because we had a rookie quarterback. You know, we got A.J. Green in a draft. Then the next year, we got Marvin Jones and Tyler Eifert. We got Giovanni Bernard, Mo Sanu, Andrew Hawkins. So we started to surround him. And it's amazing how much better the quarterback is when people around them are making plays, you know, taking a 5-yard hitch route going 50, you know, or throwing a fade ball that most times is going to be incomplete. And AJ Green snatches it with one hand. I mean, you got to have some weapons, especially for a young quarterback, and the more the merrier for sure. But sometimes, you know, we were fortunate enough to draft all those guys as opposed to going out and trading for one and paying $30 million. We were able to keep our guys in house. I think that's why they were so competitive for so long at Cincinnati. There's a lot of merit to that. I think he needs a lot of help around him.
Jay Gruden in studio. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're hitting the NFL headlines. Let's talk about the new kickoff rule. We broached this briefly. Right now, you're not in. You don't like how it looks, and you don't like the lack of the onside kicks. What will you consider a success, though? Like, at the end of this year, if you hypothetically don't mind it, what will have happened, do you think?
Limited penalties.
Which there were a lot in the preseason game.
Yeah, limited penalties, and then, just some excitement. Maybe, you know, a couple of returns for touchdowns, big plays out of it would be fun to watch. You know, I don't want to see a guy catch it and then get tackled at the 24-yard line every time, which is probably going to happen.
But how is that really any different than what was happening before?
Yeah, the difference is there's no chance of a surprise onside kick, which hardly was ever used anyway, so maybe it will be better. I don't know. The jury's still out with me. I just wasn't a fan of the way it looked and the way it transpired. You know, when the starters get in there, I think when you have your kickoff team on game day, you're going to have bigger, faster guys. Your linebackers, your fourth and fifth receiver are going to be down there. Your fourth and fifth corner is going to be long and fast. It's going to be hard to get past these guys when they're starting at the 40-yard line, for God's sakes.
I just know that when the extra point became a play that was a 99% make because it was from the goal line or whatever, the 2-yard line, right? We said as a sport, this is stupid. No one has to watch this play. And we moved it back. And now from 33 yards, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think kickoffs got to a point where I stand with my heels on the goal line. Ball goes end over end over my head. I put my hands out like I'm making the shape of a T. And it's just a track sprint down the field. And we got to do something. Like, if these are the new rules where they are now to make the game safer, I'm not angry. I'm just saying this is where we are. There's no kickoff returns anymore. Again, 2 per game last year. That doesn't work. We got to try something else. And we'll see if this does. But
yeah.
I think My level of success is, are there actual returns? Like football being played. Blocks, tackles, you know, moving them with the football. It's basically a run play, kind of. It's what it looks like. But to your point, it could be a boring watch. But maybe it's a boring watch where at least we get some returns. The Atlanta Falcons. What do you make of them drafting Michael Penix after paying your former quarterback, Kirk Cousins? I've never seen anything like that.
No, I haven't either. Well, you have. I mean, you saw Jordan Love get drafted with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
saw,
but, you know, I mean, you just paid the guy $100 million.
Yeah.
They already were making
him. He is coming off an Achilles. He is getting a little older, so there is some merit to that. And when, you know, if Kirk does what he's supposed to do, when are they going to be able to draft in the top 10 again? Probably not for a long time, if they feel like they're as good as they think they'll be with Kirk. So they'll be drafting later in the 20s or 30s, whatever it might be. So there is merit to that, I guess. But I'm with the majority of people that probably think that that was a stupid pick because they had a lot of needs on defense. They could have got the best defensive player in the draft, best pass rusher. They could have got Turner from Alabama, get from UCLA, right? Corner, whatever it might be. A need position for them because
their
defense was pitiful last year. They're so last in the league in pass rush wins, and they needed pass rushers. But they got some good players on defense. They got the safety Bates. They got Terrell. They got some decent players. So I think Raheem will make them better. But I just think that pick would have been great to have another first round talent on defense, not a backup quarterback.
You're tight with Raheem. You guys go back a long way.
We coached together.
Have you talked to him at all about that?
I talked to him when I was consulting for the Rams a little bit for a year, and then.
But I mean about the pick.
Oh, no, hell yeah. No. Kirk's he can get a little sensitive every now and then. And
right.
That probably bothered him a little bit. But, you know, I think once they go out there, everybody knows it's Kirk's team. I think that'll blow by. But to have a quality backup, you know, the other thing is we saw how many quarterbacks played last year because of injury, a lot. And sometimes that backup quarterback role is becoming more critical for a lot of teams. And have a guy like Penix who can obviously wing it. Might be a good thing in the long run.
They lost Rondell Moore, got carted off with a wrapped leg today. Didn't sound good. Aircast, who was going to be a playmaker for them. Do you like Atlanta to win that division over Tampa? New Orleans is pretty good defensively.
I still like Tampa. I think Tampa did a lot of good things keeping their core in place. They're good players. They're physical up front. Todd Bowles does a good job of that defense. Mike Evans is still a playmaker, and I think Baker Mayfield is starting to gain a lot more confidence moving forward. I know he's got a new coordinator this year, which have a little bit of an impact, but I still think Tampa Bay is a team that the NFC South goes through.
I don't know that guy that well either. Liam Cohen.
Yeah, he was Sean McVay at the Rams, and he went back. He was at Kentucky, then he went with Sean, then he went back to Kentucky. Now he's with the
Okay, big order for him because Canales and Mayfield worked really well together. I saw watching, and you've done great work, tip of the cap on what you're doing with the Underdog crew. I've enjoyed watching you and Colt McCoy like old times here in Ashburn. But I saw you talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And you said after a detailed eval of his tape last year, something along the lines of like he was one of the most confusing quarterbacks you've ever studied.
Yeah, he looks really great sometimes, and he looks atrocious.
Well, how is that? I mean, why?
I don't know. I just think his mechanics are a little off. Maybe it's his injuries last year that he had. I think he's got to hone in on his mechanics. Got to, you know, he's just so erratic with the ball placement. It drives me nuts for a guy that has the skill that he has to miss some of the throws that he misses. Just doesn't make sense to me. I think they have a chance to be pretty good. They added some pieces on their team, but he's got to play more consistently for them to have a chance to take over Houston. And Indy's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, and Anthony Richardson, potentially healthy, hopefully.
Standing next to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough team to defend.
With a good line.
Excited to watch them. We're going to play Pick One with Jay Gruden in studio next. I'm going to give him a couple of choices in various categories, and he's going to have to pick one of the two. Talking ball with the former head coach here in D.C. No Danny today. I'm Grant. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Grant and Danny without Danny. You are locked into the Fan. I'm taking you up to 6:15. Nats pregame. They got the Giants in town tonight. You'll hear the game right here on the Fan at 6:45. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler have your call. Jay Gruden is in studio. We're having some fun talking ball. Want to play a little game we occasionally play on the show. But instead of Danny and I, it's going to be Jay Gruden under the bright lights for pick one. So I'm going to give you two options here, and you've got to choose one or the other. All kinds of different categories. I will start at quarterback, where you got to pick one, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow.
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a really good one.
I'm thinking Mahomes is your easy number one quarterback, and so the debate then begins after that, and this to me
I'm
is...
I'm going to take, since Joe Burrow painted his hair white, I'm going to go Josh Allen.
You're going Allen over Burrow based on the new hairdo.
Yep. Josh Nothing Allen. Wrong with the white hair. Don't get me wrong. I just want a more conventional guy.
We don't need to be dyeing our hair at the start of camp. Yeah. So Josh Allen, by the way, I kind of like Buffalo to surprise people and be in the Super Bowl mix.
I don't know how they can surprise people with that guy at quarterback.
Because everyone keeps thinking they took a step back.
Because they lost Diggs, who had 900 yards and no touchdowns. He averaged 70 yards a game in the last 10 games.
Gabriel Davis is gone, too. They lost both of their starting receivers.
Shakir's a good player.
He is. And they brought in Curtis Samuel.
They got Coleman, who's a big body for him. So who knows?
All right. I'm going to go stay in the quarterback category. But I'm going to go historical here. Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees?
I'll take Rodgers. A little more athletic.
Is it crazy, in your opinion, that Aaron Rodgers is my number two quarterback all time?
No. He's pretty good. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty crazy. Over who? Who's your number one, Brady?
Well, here's where you're really going to hate my list. Manning's my number one.
Archie?
Right. Arch Manning, yeah, at Texas. No. I got Peyton Manning one. I got Aaron Rodgers two.
That's just.
I got
that's
Tom
just,
Brady.
You're three. Just trying to get controversial stuff. Brady's number one. Montana's number two. Then you can go from there after that. Period. That's just where you go.
Who's the second one?
Montana.
Never heard of him. Just kidding.
Jeez.
I can't.
Anybody argues that they got something wrong with them.
No. Here's the problem with
now there are guys that have better arms and stuff like that than Montana. Other guys more athletic than Brady, but the quarterback position. Nobody played it better than those two guys.
Brady is the greatest winner of all time, is what I give him.
Yeah. In order to win, you have to make plays.
And your defense has to help you, and your head coach
has to
help you.
There's a lot of variables, no doubt about it. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that never won a big game. Dan Marino, you can argue that he's one of the best passers of all time, right?
Right.
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He's great. Peyton Manning had some good teams around him, too. I mean, he just had Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis and Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Dwight Clark and Edgerrin James. I mean, he had some pretty good players around him, too, right?
He had a lot of help.
Yeah.
But the year that he wasn't there, they didn't win a football game. Curtis Painter takes over. The year Brady wasn't there, they won 11 games. It was a pretty damn good outfit.
10.
I think they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs.
10-6. They missed the playoffs with Matt Cassel, right?
Matty Cassel. That's the guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go commentators. Color commentators. Your brother known as one of the great analysts in the booth ever, right?
Yep.
Chris Collinsworth or Troy Aikman? Pick one.
Aikman.
You like Troy?
Yes, I like Troy a lot better.
All right, let's go Tony Romo or Chris Collinsworth?
Collinsworth.
Okay. We're starting to get a depth chart here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's another one on the level that I would even throw into those categories. So Romo's the bottom of your depth chart?
Yeah, I just think Romo is he's starting to not put the work in, you can tell.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, that's certainly.
I think he does a good job. Obviously, he played the game for a long time. But I just think his first couple of years, I feel like he's a little bit more into it. Now, that's just what I just as a.
Yeah, I like it. Let's go Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football. As a fan or as a coach, doesn't matter.
I think Monday Night Football is the best. That music and yeah. Dun 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 dun.
As a coach, though, with the short week. Like, if you had to coach on Sunday night or Monday night, did you care? Or did you still, because Monday Night Football?
Well, I'd rather do Sunday night as a coach, but yeah. Monday night, just Monday night, you feel like the whole world is watching on Monday Night Football. Sunday night probably is too, but back in the day, growing up, Monday Night Football was the thing.
The best.
Halftime highlights, remember that?
Oh, of course.
I mean, the halftime highlights were unbelievable. Howard Cosell, I mean.
This is still right here. Like,
the greatest song ever.
Every year, seasonally, we kind of rank.
The best sports song ever, by far.
Is this better than NBA Round Rock or whatever? The yes. NBC NBA one? John Tesh? This is so good. God, it's so good. I just love when you're in the stadium on a Monday night and they fire that up from the speakers like an hour before the players are out there warming up. If that doesn't get your juices flowing, you're dead.
Chills. Yeah, Sunday Night Football, Carrie Underwood coming out and singing. Not quite the same as this.
I agree with that.
As a coach, I'd rather play on Sunday night, just short weeks and all that stuff.
Are you anti? Would you get rid of Thursday Night Football?
Actually, I didn't mind Thursday Night Football as bad because I really liked the Friday, Saturday, Sunday after it. It was almost like a mini bye week. It was a little change of pace, change of schedule. You know, you play every Sunday, every time you kind of get monotonous, but then you have to hurry up and get a game plan and play Thursday. And it's like, oh, you can take a deep breath and take a day off and reevaluate some things on your offense, defense, special teams, whatever, the health of your football team, and just take a deep breath. So I did like Thursday Night Football.
When I covered Shanny, he loved playing on Thanksgiving for that reason. Like that late in the year, almost second bye.
Yeah.
Because if you play on Thanksgiving, a lot of times you get the earlier bye.
And typically it's against a team you know, like we exactly. Played Dallas, and we kind of knew them a little bit, so it wasn't that crazy of a preparation. Wasn't like we're playing a whole new front coverage and all that. We kind of knew him, so it was a little bit easier.
I never thought about that. That's a really good point. But he would even ask. He'd say to the league, hey, people don't want to, we'll take it.
Yeah.
He had no problem playing. And I think Thursdays, as Thursday Night Football became bigger, same thing, not just Thanksgiving. But he kind of enjoyed that bye element as well. All right, I went with trick plays here. Double pass or flea flicker? Pick one.
I like the flea flicker. You know, where you hand it off, and then the guy pitches it back. That flea flicker you're talking about?
That's the one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Because I don't ever remember, I'm sure you did. I don't remember, I was looking for it last night, one of your teams doing a flea flicker.
I'll tell you, first couple of years, this is a true story now. I loved Alfred Morris, but he's not a guy that could lateral back to the quarterback.
No way.
Yeah, crazy. We tried it a couple times. It was at his feet, over his head. Sweet. I was like, no way.
It does not seem like that difficult a thing.
You know, Alfred, for as good a running back was, he didn't have great hands and couldn't really catch pitches. You know, you had to hand it to him. He was great. Loved him. Great vision. Hard to tackle. Toss it to him. It's like, oh, God.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
1,600-yard back as a rookie, historical season in 2012. And you had him.
Let's see how many times he caught a pitch.
Yeah,
those 1,600 yards. I bet it wasn't very often.
Well, what's funny about that, I remember some of those designed outside, but when that group left, so Kyle, McDaniel, all those guys, they immediately started doing that thing where you pitch it to the running back directly behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And McDaniel's got some pretty epic answers about why he does that. Yale guy, you know, has good explanations for everything.
Trying to get the backers afloat, and it's more of an inside zone and gives time for your lineman to work the double teams, get up to the linebacker.
Makes sense. Yeah, but I had never seen anybody really do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that prevalent, but they didn't do it with Alf. And that maybe that's part of why, you know, when they left here, they started doing that.
Now McDaniels has a new thing with those speed backs he has. He has them jab step, come back over the cross, and they do toss crack. You got to be fast as hell to do that.
You were talking about offensively, like as a back?
Yeah, they'll jab to the right and come back to the left, and they'll do which nobody can do unless your back is really, really fast.
He's got Achan and
Mostert. It's unbelievable because it holds the linebackers. The hardest part about doing a toss crack, getting it back outside, is blocking the mic, fast-flowing mic. Roquan Smith, those guys. But now you freeze for a count. Now your center can get up there and get them. And those guys can still get the edge because they're fast enough. They did a ton of that last year.
So that jab step, like that counter look.
Yeah.
That basically you get everyone, it's just taking one false step, right?
Just false step, just hold them just for a count and then still have the speed to get outside, which not many backs can do.
I guess they're cracking down on the other thing that they brought to the league last year in Miami, which was that cheat motion.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how they're going to officiate that exactly, but it sounds like
it's not a cheat motion.
Well, that's just what they call it. I mean, Kyle said that was the name, a cheat motion, but it basically like the.
Yeah.
It's timed to the point where it seems like as Tyreek or whoever kind of starts peeling toward the line, they snap it and they drill it that way. But I guess the league is going to flag it if he even turns toward the line. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
You're not allowed to, in motion, east and west type motions, you're not allowed to turn towards the line anyway. So it doesn't matter. You know,
okay.
A lot of teams are doing the fast jet motions across the formation. Now the Dolphins, they invented the little lineup in a bunch on the left and just sprint out to the left.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just to get more access for Tyreek.
So why are they going to flag that more? Or how are they going to crack down on it? That was the big story last week.
Only if he turns up before the ball snapped.
Okay. So they'll still be able to do all the same.
I think they will, yeah. I don't think you can. That's not a penalty.
Play designer. Pick one. Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid.
Andy Reid.
Oh, that was quick, by the way. How about Andy Reid? Is he your number one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. How about Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel?
Kyle. Mike McDaniel's a Shanahan disciple, so.
McVay or Kyle?
Probably go. That's a tough one. Probably go Kyle.
You think Andy's the one seed, though?
Yeah.
What's he do so special? What
well, it's not so much. I think what Andy does the best out of any of them is he's going to design plays that will get results, like especially in the red zone. Some weird formation, some weird motion, just like the Super Bowl, a little cross motion, the little RPO they ran and they hit Hardman in the corner of the end zone. He's always going to have a cool design in the red zone to make it easy on Patrick. And then Patrick makes the rest of the plays. I get it. But I just think Andy Reid, from a play design point, he's going to get you on two or three a game that you'll never see before, you'll never see again.
Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill?
I'm taking Hill. Speed kills.
All right, then I think I know the answer to the next one. Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb.
Ooh, those are very similar type guys. I'd probably take CD.
Last one at receiver, the rookies. Malik Nabers. I love Malik.
Yeah, I'm taking Malik because he ran the 40.
Let's go. I thought
only because he ran the 40.
Okay.
Well, if Marvin would have run the 40, he'd ran like a 4.35, I'd probably take Marvin.
He doesn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. Yeah.
Not
so
a
that
single
bothered
thing.
Me a little bit. But
he
I think
can't even buy his jersey.
Marvin's skill set, he's got the skill at the line of scrimmage, or he's pro ready already. You know,
he's going to be a beast, but he better be.
I just like Union. I just like the way Malik plays. He plays hard, plays fast.
Pick one with Jay Gruden. Slant or fade?
Everything starts with a slant to me. If you can't run a slant, then the fade is irrelevant.
Okay. I just wanted to say fade because I know it gets you riled up.
Yeah.
And then the last one, Ryan Grant or Samaje Perine?
You guys, I'll tell you what. I like both those guys. I'll probably take posts for Samaje. Every time I looked around, he's in the dang tent.
Yeah, he had a extra bed, I think, in the blue tent. Yeah,
he got hurt a lot. Ryan, I like Ryan. Ryan's a fifth-round pick out of Tulane. He did everything right. He did all the dirty stuff that Deshaun wouldn't do. You know, he just lined up everywhere. He wasn't the greatest player. I get it, but I liked him because he was very versatile and very dependable.
He's
I like
fine.
Dependability.
You and me both. You don't have to explain yourself
all
to
right,
us.
Just trying to explain it to the fans out there who rip on me because I liked Ryan Grant.
I liked him because his last name was Grant. He caught a couple of nice passes along the way.
Yeah.
Did some good
touchdown
things.
Against the
Nobody he
at Saints. I mean,
I don't know
play.
What is the play called that you
winning
ran?
Play against the Rams at the Rams. We beat Sean McVay. He
That's
caught
right.
the corner out. Remember
we
that?
Do. Yes, I do. He had the huge catch against the Saints on the road as well.
Yeah.
What was the play where he would like line up as like a wing in the backfield and then you would go like play action boot and he would like cross across the line of scrimmage
oh, yeah,
and
slide.
Come out.
Z slide.
I mean, that was probably the most called play, I think.
Yeah, a lot of teams do that now. That's one of the best, like, they better
play.
Have that with Jaden Daniels and, you know, some of the guys that have Terry McLaurin and those guys and Dachs. That's a great play.
If you've got a question for Jay Gruden, we will let you guys get some of the final questions in before we say goodbye at the top of the hour. MGM National Harbor listener lines. You want to talk to Jay, 800-636-1067. And I also want to dive into the Olympics. I've been watching his Twitter account. He's got some takes on the Olympics, G&D on the Fan. Top of the hour, 4 o'clock on G&D without Danny today. I got tickets to see Blues Traveler I'm giving away. They're at Wolf Trap on August 23rd. We've been breaking down training camp throughout the show. All of our camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. A lot of football discussion with Jay Gruden, who's in studio for another few minutes before we say goodbye and turn our attention at the top of the hour to the Beltway Blitz. Let's go to Christian, who's in Manassas, as we open things up for you guys to talk to Jay. Christian, you are on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, Jay. Hey, Grant. Love the show.
Thanks.
My question to Jay is, who's your favorite Redskins great / legend?
Ooh, okay.
That I coach or just Redskins in general?
I think he's – well, you, let's go with that you coached and then give us one all time.
Favorite guy I coached? Man, I had a lot of guys. I mean, best player I coached is probably Trent. One of my favorites, too. He's a great guy. But spent a lot of time with the quarterbacks. Both Kirk and Colt were great. Probably those two.
And then what about all-time legends for the team? Anybody that growing up or anything that you had an affinity for?
Brian Mitchell. Just kidding.
You and B. Mitch have had your run-in.
Yeah, I'm just joking around. Yeah, I like Brian Mitch, but I probably John Riggins. I mean, how can you not like John Riggins?
Riggo?
Yeah, he was fun to watch.
Hall of Famer. We're trying. I mean, there are more guys in this market than
shirt untucked, breaking through tackles.
Right.
I mean,
there's just a lot. He's one of the few that have actually gotten in. You mentioned B. Mitch, London Fletcher. I saw on the sideline.
Daryl Green is also. Jacoby. You know the size that he. You know the. The way he played, the speed. I mean, he was always fun to watch.
Let's go to Telly in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Telly?
Yo, what's up, Grant, man? Great segment. Hey, Jay, I just want to tell you, man, you're one of my favorite Washington head coaches of all time, man. Hated to see you leave. Hey, I got a question, man. When you first got the job, were you told by Bruce Allen or Dan Snyder that Robert had to be your quarterback?
Well, that was a plan, yeah. And I was fine with that because he was rookie of the year. Right. And then he had the injury. And then our job was to help him get back to the player he was as a rookie and improve on that, improve his pocket awareness, improve his passing. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. He got hurt again. And then Kirk just proved to be the better player.
There was for a long time the suggestion or rumor that when he did get back in the game against the Vikings, I think in like 2014,
mm-hmm.
that you basically were told he had to. Is that true? That they told you had to start him?
No, I think we needed to clear it up and give him another. I think Robert deserved another opportunity to try to get the job back. You know, he sat back, had a couple games from injury, and we had to see. You know, he's still a young player. You know, we couldn't just give up on him. We needed to see for sure, give him another opportunity, and because it was still close between Kirk and Robert at that time, unfortunately. Actually, we had Colt in the mix as well, but fortunately, Kirk overwhelmingly won the job.
Let's go to Terry in D.C. on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Terry, Jay Gruden's in studio. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I just had two questions, real quick questions. First, as a coach, how would you defense defend the back shoulder fade? And also, like, on first and second, if it's first and goal, why do defenses play so soft? I can see on third and goal, if you're on defense, you kind of like you have to play with more technique. But why is it on first and second down, the team just steps off, for instance, and just give up a slant so easily instead of just playing up? Because if you got a penalty, what difference does it make on first down? It's like it's still going to be half the distance to go. Why do they play so soft on first and second down.
I don't know if that's their intent. Sometimes it might look like that, but there are some defensive coordinators in the goal line that they will invite you to try to run it in and play more pass coverage to try to protect against the fades and against the bigger receivers, the one-on-one slants. You know, they want to get hook players out there. They want to get flat players out there. They want to guard against the pass, and if you run it, then they feel like they can, since the goal line's a lot closer, the safeties are a lot closer as opposed to out the field where they're 25 yards deep. Now they're only about 8 yards deep. They can come up and be a impactful part of the tackle. So I think there are some coaches that mindset, and there's some other coaches that become ultra aggressive down there, but I don't really see any defenses playing really soft and giving up slants. It's hard to throw the ball down there with the drop eight covers, the cover twos, the quarters. Sometimes they'll play double the outside guys, a man to man everywhere else. There's a lot of things you see down there, but I wish it was that easy just to rip a slant out there on first and goal to five. I would have done that every time.
Let's go to Corey in Ashburn, the last Jay anything on Grant and Danny. Corey, Jay Gruden's in studio. What's up?
Hey, Jay. Hey, Grant. How are you guys today?
Good.
Doing well.
Good. I got one for maybe the whole area. Jay, how bad on a scale of 1 to 10 did you hate working for that weasel Snyder?
Well, you know, he paid the bills, which is good. You know, the first couple of years, it was
still paying some of those bills, I bet.
No, not anymore. But you know what? It was okay the first couple of years. I think after 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think it kind of gets after you because you put a lot of time in, and all you want to do is put the best product possible on a field for the fans of the area. And when you don't have that ability to pick those players, it can be frustrating via the draft or free agency. And that's the most frustrating part about it, because I never felt like I got a chance to pick the team that I wanted. You know, I was able to coach a team, which I'm very fortunate and very grateful for. But sometimes you got to have, you know, cars in the garage to make this thing work. And I wish I would have more of an impact in picking the players. That's all.
PJ's in Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, PJ?
Hey, guys. Coach Gruden, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm going to try to articulate it as best as I can because it's a little bit of a speculative kind of thing. I agree with what you just said moments ago, that Kirk proved to be the better player in the long run than RG3. I mean, Kirk is, you know, arguably top 10 quarterback. Great, great quarterback. My thing I want to ask you about RG3 is this. RG3 had that great rookie year. And I don't know your relationship with the previous coach, Coach Shanahan. I respect Coach Shanahan, but where I think Coach Shanahan went wrong was putting RG3 back in when he was already injured in that Seattle playoff game. And I think that's what messed everything up for RG3. And my, once again, speculation is that had Shanahan not put RG3 back in the Seattle game, RG3 would have had his legs under him the rest of his career.
What's the question, PJ?
The question is, do you think RG3 would have been a much better pocket passer if he didn't get hurt in Seattle? Because he showed pocket, in the Dallas Monday night game in that first year, he showed a lot of pocket passing. He regressed. My theory is because of the knee injury, which I blame it on Coach Shanahan when he was already hurt.
Do you think that the injury derailed him? Would he have been great if not for the injury?
I think the injury had an impact. Yeah, I don't know how the injury affected him. I know that the ability for him to run the zone reads really first started coming out, and the play actions off of the zone reads that Kyle came up with were quite genius that nobody had seen. So they were getting guys pretty much wide open. He's able to drop back and hit holes that were huge, and then those holes started to become smaller and smaller, became a little more difficult. Then he's trying to do the true drop back concept game, five receivers out, whatever it might be. That's where he struggled a little bit. Had he not gotten hurt, would he still have struggled? Probably a little bit, but he would have been still maybe a little bit faster. I don't know, more willing to run, which was his game. I don't know. That's something that Robert would have to ask you or answer.
@coach_Jay Gruden is where you can find Jay on social. I know you'll be working for Underdog Fantasy this year.
Yep.
All of their football content. We can see it the 33rd team. Some of their shows
hopefully.
As well.
We'll see. And then we got a YouTube channel called Clean Pocket if you want to jump on that. Me and Colt and A.Q. Shipley and Justin Pugh.
How'd you link up with Pugh? He's a good dude.
He is. Yeah. No, they were just part of the show. I just joined with them. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we will be checking it out. Thank you for hanging in studio. This was fun.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Jay Gruden, boys and girls, on Grant and Danny. You are due for an update, so we'll get you that. And then the Beltway Blitz. Remember, next, we are giving away those tickets. Right at the top of the hour, somebody is going to see Blues Traveler. This is The Fan. Top of the hour, 4 o'clock on GND without Danny today. I got tickets to see Blues Traveler I'm giving away. They're at Wolf Trap on August 23rd. We've been breaking down training camp throughout the show. All of our camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. A lot of football discussion with Jay Gruden, who's in studio for another few minutes before we say goodbye and turn our attention at the top of the hour to the Beltway Blitz. Let's go to Christian, who's in Manassas, as we open things up for you guys to talk to Jay. Christian, you are on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, Jay. Hey, Grant. Love the show.
Thanks.
My question to Jay is, who's your favorite Redskins great / legend?
Ooh, okay.
That I coach or just Redskins in general?
I think he's – well, let's go with that you coached and then give us one all time.
Favorite guy I coached? Man, I had a lot of guys. I mean, best player I coached is probably Trent. One of my favorites, too. He's a great guy. But spent a lot of time with the quarterbacks. Both Kirk and Colt were great. Probably those two.
And then what about all-time legends for the team? Anybody that growing up or anything that you had an affinity for?
Brian Mitchell. Just kidding.
You and B. Mitch have had your run-ins.
Yeah, I'm just joking around. Yeah, I like Brian Mitch. But I probably John Riggins. I mean, how can you not like John Riggins?
Riggo?
Yeah. He was fun to watch.
Hall of Famer. There are more guys in this market than...
Shirt untucked, breaking through tackles.
Right.
I mean...
There's just a lot... He's one of the few that have actually gotten in. You mentioned B. Mitch, London Fletcher I saw on the sideline.
Daryl Green is also, Jacoby. You know, the size that he, you know, the way he played, the speed. I mean, he was always fun to watch.
Let's go to Telly in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Telly?
Yo, what's up, Grant, man? Great segment. Hey, Jay, I just want to tell you, man, you're one of my favorite Washington head coaches of all time, man. Hated to see you leave. Hey, I got a question, man. When you first got the job, were you told by Bruce Allen or Dan Snyder that Robert had to be your quarterback?
Well, that was a plan, yeah. And I was fine with that because he was rookie of the year, right? And then he had the injury, and then our job was to help him get back to the player he was as a rookie and improve on that, improve his pocket awareness, improve his passing. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. He got hurt again. And then Kirk just proved to be the better player.
There was, for a long time, the suggestion or rumor that when he did get back in the game against the Vikings, I think, in like 2014,
mm-hmm.
that you basically were told he had to. Is that true? That they told you had to start him?
No, I think we needed to clear it up and give him another. I think Robert deserved another opportunity to try to get the job back. You know, he sat back, had a couple games from injury, and we had to see. You know, he's still a young player. You know, we couldn't just give up on him. We needed to see for sure, give another opportunity, and because it was still close between Kirk and Robert at that time. Unfortunately, we had Colt in the mix as well, but fortunately, Kirk overwhelmingly won the job.
Let's go to Terry in D.C. on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Terry, Jay Gruden's in studio. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I just had two questions, real quick questions. First, as a coach, how would you have a defense defend the back shoulder fade? And also, like, on first and second, if it's first and goal, why do defenses play so soft? I can see on third and goal, if you're on defense, you kind of like you have to play with more technique. But why is it on first and second down, the team just steps off, for instance, and just give up a slant so easily instead of just playing up? Because if you got a penalty, what difference does it make on first down? It's like it's still going to be half the distance to go. Why do they play so soft on first and second down?
I don't know if that's their intent. Sometimes it might look like that, but there are some defensive coordinators in the goal line that they will invite you to try to run it in and play more pass coverage to try to protect against the fades and against the bigger receivers, the one-on-one slants. You know, they want to get hook players out there. They want to get flat players out there. They want to guard against the pass, and if you run it, then they feel like they can, since the goal line's a lot closer, the safeties are a lot closer as opposed to out in the field where they're 25 yards deep. Now they're only about 8 yards deep. They can come up and be a impactful part of the tackle. So I think there are some coaches that mindset, and there's some other coaches that become ultra aggressive down there, but I don't really see any defenses playing really soft and giving up slants. It's hard to throw the ball down there with the drop eight covers, the cover twos, the quarters. Sometimes they'll play double the outside guys, a man-to-man everywhere else. there's a lot of things you see down there, but I wish it was that easy just to rip a slant out there on first and goal to five. I would have done that every time.
Let's go to Corey in Ashburn, the last Jay anything on Grant and Danny. Corey, Jay Gruden's in studio. What's up?
Hey, Jay. Hey, Grant. How are you guys today?
Good.
Doing well.
Good. I got one for maybe the whole area. Jay, how bad on a scale of 1 to 10 did you hate working for that weasel Snyder?
Well, you know, he paid the bills, which is good. You know, the first couple of years, it was
still paying some of those bills, I bet.
No, not anymore. But you know what? It was okay the first couple of years. I think after 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think it kind of gets after you because you put a lot of time in, and all you want to do is put the best product possible on the field for the fans of the area. And when you don't have that ability to pick those players, it can be frustrating via the draft or free agency. And that's the most frustrating part about it, because I never felt like I got a chance to pick the team that I wanted. You know, I was able to coach a team, which I'm very fortunate and very grateful for, but sometimes you got to have, you know, cars in the garage to make this thing work. And I wish I would have more of an impact in picking the players. That's all.
PJ's in Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, PJ?
Hey, guys. Coach Gruden, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm going to try to articulate it as best as I can, because it's a little bit of a speculative kind of thing. I agree with what you just said moments ago, that Kirk proved to be the better player in the long run than RG3. I mean, Kirk is, you know, arguably top 10 quarterback. Great, great quarterback. My thing I want to ask you about RG3 is this. RG3 had that great rookie year, and I don't know your relationship with the previous coach, Coach Shanahan. I respect Coach Shanahan, but where I think Coach Shanahan went wrong was putting RG3 back in when he was already injured in that Seattle playoff game. And I think that's what messed everything up for RG3. And my, once again, speculation is that had Shanahan not put RG3 back in the Seattle game, RG3 would have had his legs under him the rest of his career.
What's the question, PJ?
The question is, do you think RG3 would have been a much better pocket passer if he didn't get hurt in Seattle? Because he showed in the Dallas Monday night game in that first year, he showed a lot of pocket passing. He regressed. My theory is because of the knee injury, which I blame it on Coach Shanahan when he was already hurt.
Do you think that the injury derailed him? Would he have been great if not for the injury?
I think the injury had an impact. Yeah, I don't know how the injury affected him. I know that the ability for him to run the zone reads really first started coming out, and the play actions off of the zone reads that Kyle came up with were quite genius that nobody had seen. So they were getting guys pretty much wide open. He's able to drop back and hit holes that were huge. And then those holes started to become smaller and smaller, became a little more difficult. Then he's trying to do the true drop back concept game, five receivers out, whatever it might be. That's where he struggled a little bit. Had he not gotten hurt, would he still have struggled? Probably a little bit. But he would have been still maybe a little bit faster. I don't know, more willing to run, which was his game. I don't know. That's something that Robert would have to ask you or answer.
@coach_JayGruden is where you can find Jay on social. I know you'll be working for Underdog Fantasy this year.
Yep.
All of their football content. We can see it at the 33rd team. 33rd some of their team, shows
hopefully.
As well.
We'll see. And then we got a YouTube channel called Clean Pocket if you want to jump on that. Me and Colt and AQ Shipley and Justin Pugh.
How'd you link up with Pugh? He's a good dude.
They were just part of the show. I just joined with them. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we will be checking it out. Thank you for hanging in studio. This was fun.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Jay Gruden, boys and girls, on Grant and Danny. You are due for an update, so we'll get you that. And then the Beltway Blitz. Remember, next, we are giving away those tickets right at the top of the hour. Somebody is going to see Blues Traveler. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.